Isaiah 58.
Bible for Vanetta.
We stopped in Isaiah 57 with "There is no peace for the wicked one." The wicked one is you. No matter what you do, you can't be at rest except for just momentary glimpses of it. Now we go to Isaiah 58. And these are the readings for this days of awe. "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Now, what an incredible statement. Oh, we don't talk about sin and stuff because it just, people don't get into that. We want to, we want to make them feel good, and we want you to.
I'm a New Testament.
Portions of it. "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." Does this sound familiar?
It's our secret service. This is that thing the other day. Sport, why do you support yourself?
"Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and seest thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge?" In other words, we've done all these right things. We've fasted, and we've prayed, and we've gone to church, and we've gone to morning Bible study, and still nothing is going right. So I have to be a hypocrite and I have to act like it is. Remember, Leviticus says of this day, of Yom Kippur, that that soul who is not afflicted shall be cut off from my people. Remember? "Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high." Now, what does it mean to fast for strife and debate, and smite with the fist of wickedness? You fast to try to satisfy an internal struggle. You understand that? If nothing's going wrong and everything's just right, then you might give up pepper on your ice cream for Lent. But you understand? You fast for strife. Okay, I'm going through all this and I've got to go fast and pray. That's the religious mind. It always has done it since the beginning of time. I want to fast and pray and seek God. Well, we just read about your seeking God.
I want my reward.
This is among the least read chapters in the Bible. Except because it's the right thing to do, that if something isn't going right, that you need to fast and pray about it instead of confessing and repenting. Now, I'm not saying you never fast and pray, but I'm saying that you fast and pray for the wrong reasons. Anybody want to debate me?
Yeah. Fast for his wood. I don't know what to debate.
This is not about strife.
Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? You got to hear this. It's to bring the poor that are cast out into thy house, not bring him over here, or not bring him to a shelter, or not feed him on Thanksgiving. Why? Why is the fast to bring the poor into your house, to bring the homeless into your house? Why? Because they show you your incredible selfishness and your incredible iniquity. The incredible soul only self-seeking. Self-realization. But it says, it's in the better translations, of course, it says the poor, the ones that are cast out that are the believers. You just don't take in the...
Make sure they're believers.
Have them sign a document. Make sure they're believers. Blithering idiots. It's a good thing Mr. John talked to them instead of me. We were given 7 apartments to fill by an owner in California, apartment owner. Except he wanted us to have them sign a have the people make sure they're believers. We want to help our own.
That sounds like if they're too tall, cut them off. Yeah. Too short, stretch them to fit the bed.
To let the oppressed go free, and ye that break every, and that you break every yoke. Now, who is it talking about? Is it talking about you having a cause here? No. The oppressed is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I promise you, you will keep him in his dungeon, in deep, deep within your temple, as long as you trust your instincts, your what? Oh, I'm gonna. I gave at the church.
Going back to intuition.
Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? What does that mean?
Well, when you fasted, you'd go off some place and, say, everybody stay away from me because I'm focused on something.
Well, what is it really about? Think about it. That means that. It means a whole lot more. But hide thyself from thine own flesh. Isn't that what lying and coping is about?
This is lack of
This is lack of confession. This is lack of integrity. This is lack of openness. This is lack of seeing yourself. You're still hiding behind the fig tree. Because who told you you were naked? And so you have to act. You can't say that. You can't talk about that. But boy, we can really put on a good show. We can watch. We're seeking God. We're praising Him. We're giving Him all the glory. And we're even accepting Him. Isn't that big of us? The evil of men's mind is beyond comprehension. And that includes women. But especially men.
That really speaks to the humility issue. It's like, say, this is my house, and there's God standing outside, and He knocks on the door. He doesn't bust the door down or anything. And it's like, the idea that humility is mind-boggling.
Well, the idea of having my house is an anathema.
Well, he stands at the door and knocks. That implies that you have a house.
Yeah.
It's just that humility.
Can you comprehend the incredible evilness of our minds when we can say, "This is mine"? Where?
But in the same example I just made.
Every time something happens that you don't like, it's Him knocking. He's always knocking because there's something always happening that you don't like.
Why doesn't He bust the door down?
Because of His humility.
That's what I said.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but the point of it is it's my life, my... The point of the discussion is the incredible evil of saying something is mine. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward, or thy protection. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. And then shalt thou cry, and He shall say, "Here I am." If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke of the putting forth of the finger and speaking or thinking vanity. You can't speak it without thinking it. Speaking, futility, emptiness, valuelessness. Putting forth the finger. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, or darkness is what it says, and thy darkness shall be as noonday, because we no longer need the light of the sun or the moon. Because the Lamb is the light of the temple. It's not just that temple way over there somewhere, because that temple is our only reality. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Then they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And that's not talking about that piece of land over in Israel. That promised land went bye-bye because it was a parable, a type. And when that which is perfect is come, then that which was the type is done away with. Now there's no more bond or free, Greek or Jew, male or female, young or old, American or Muslim or anything else. There's only the whore and the bride. Let's go to Malachi 1. That's the reading. Isaiah 57 and 58 through 12. Now let's go to Malachi verse chapter 1. Gets worse. Last book in the Old Testament.
It's an Italian book.
Italian. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I love you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. They're twins. Jacob, the way of the snake. Even when he loved, because he saw the potential, he had to come to some integrity and tell the angel who his name was. He already hated Esau, the flesh, but now Jacob is a religious flesh, and he even hated that until he admitted that he was the way of the snake. The way of the snake. That's all that he can be. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I shall throw down. Least read verse in Zionism. They shall build, but I shall throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness and the temple against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now who would do that? Who would say the table of the Lord is contemptible? Every single time you complain about anything, you're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Every single time you have a want or a need, you're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Every single time you go up to the mountains to come up with some harebrained idea or solution, you're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And every time you follow the way of the Gentile in your manner of life, you're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Every time your value system, what you esteem, is the same as what anyone else esteems, you're saying the Lord, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Every time you don't say what's there, but you start thinking about it and trying to frame the words, you're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Every time you get real excited because you have a great idea, you're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. every time. You have been forgiven from the heart. Everyone, everything, and every situation. You're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Every time you give breath to time, you're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Am I communicating to anyone?
Every time you say this is mine.
Every time you're saying mine, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Every time you give breath to some thought or idea or voice in your head, you're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible.
And every time you're not at joy.
Every time you're not at peace. Everybody understand this? Does it penetrate somewhere?
That's why this time period is such a earth-shaking kind of thing, because you see everything every way you turn in your own strength.
Amen.
He's always saying that, you know. Your best efforts to not do that are the same thing.
Oh, yeah. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Do you understand what that means? The only thing that you possess that you can offer to the Lord is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because He alone, by that one offering, has perfected you forever. Every time you complain, every time you think something is wrong, you've got a better idea, a better way. Every time that the moment that you're in, you think it should be different than it is, you're offering a polluted sacrifice. Because the garment has been spotted by the flesh. Every time you worry, you're offering a polluted sacrifice, because it's the predicate of this that you presented yourself the living sacrifice. Can you hear me?
It's like God is, you know, Christ is feeble because, you know, this thing over here isn't happening or something. I'm confused, so God is blind.
And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Let's skip down. I want you to read the rest of this on your own, but skip down to verse 11. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the Gentiles, among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, you got to understand, that's an eternal fact. That's not going to be dependent on you doing something. Can you grasp that? It doesn't matter whether they understand it or not. Every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is confessing that Jesus is Lord. They can't do anything else because it all was created by Him and for Him. But you, as His people, if you return to the way of the Gentile, if you return to the world for your sustenance, or for anything, can you see why there can't be, you can't have a spiritual life and a real life over here, and your spiritual life is sort of like your make-believe life? Remember, I said this, I think the first day I ever started teaching. Our purpose is to cause you to see that the commonplace is holy. But the worst thing you can do is make the holy commonplace. Verse 12, but you have profaned it, in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Because you need something else. You need to do this, or you need to do that. It's not finished. The sacrifice of God wasn't sufficient. So therefore, by definition, you're saying the table that's in front of you is polluted, because you've got to add to it. And therefore, once you think that something needs to change, then what you are saying, what you are showing to God, is that the salt has lost its savor. The salt is the component of eternity, the component of finishness in everything, in every thought, in everything you do. If that finishness isn't the predicate for your very being, then the salt has lost its savor and is good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. Am I talking to anybody? What? You look like you've been hit with a brick again.
That's the word of makes all the difference. It's like we are of him. But if we leave that place to go into the world and then be of the world, it just we're never stuff.
Well, you're dead meat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a matter of you. It is a matter of you don't exist. It's like a sperm cell that thought he was supposed to stop an inch from where he entered.
Yeah, mystical point.
And you have set off what?
The finished thing, I mean, I hadn't really seen that was what it was about salt. It had its savor, but that is rare to go out in the world and find somebody who isn't about accomplishing something.
Doing something. That's why the first question people ask you when they meet, what do you do? Because the doing is what defines the evil one. The being is what defines him.
You don't have an agenda, you're going to naturally be of savor to people. You're trying to figure out why in the world you're not, you know, racked up in all these worries.
What you are speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say you are. You have said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus you brought an offering. Behold, should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Yeah, stop and think. You have said, what a weariness it is to do this. I love it when people tell me, well, I'm just bored.
Yeah, I was thinking about that a minute ago. The same thing as no music and savor
is like. Yeah, you're bored because you haven't said what's there. I promise you, if you say what's there, you'll never be bored. Oh no, but I have to bounce around and tip, as John in that great song, you have to tiptoe through the rules and laws, trying to get it right, you got to keep trying, you got to keep doing. Fine, someday I'll get it right. Hear me, if you don't have it right now, you never will have it right. If you're not in heaven now, you never will be. Because now is the accepted time. And that now doesn't become yesterday, and it certainly is never tomorrow. It's the eternal now. That's where we live. And if you are taking time to consider what you're going to say and how to say it, then by definition, you have brought the mystery of God, You've taken it out of the kingdom of light and brought it into the kingdom of darkness. And even how great that darkness is that you call light. I mean, that's enough for now. I'll give you enough to stand in awe, I pray. Can you see our only hope is abandonment of ourself? You sit there and debate in your mind like a little spiritual pissant pissing on the leg of Christ. Did I say that?
That's a new one.
He does have a way with imagery, doesn't he?
Yeah. That's a new one. You'll hear that in court someday.
Like a giant ant. Something like that. I don't even know
what a piss ant is.
So it's almost invisible little ants that come out plumbing. It's incredibly small.
Anybody have any response to this? Do you understand what abandonment means, maybe? That means take absolutely no thought of or about or for you or yours. That's what the word deny is. The first thing he said, deny yourself, pick up your cross. Those are the two summary commands. The follow me is what the fruit of that is. You will. You can't do anything else but follow him. Abandon yourself 24 hours a day. If you become the subject of your sentence in the slightest way, and you're speaking as a fool,
it always gets me into who he's directing this to. It's like the priests and the people who think they know and have figured it out.
Well, it's to who is it to in here then?
What's that?
Who is it to in here?
Yeah,
to Ronnie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more Kevin. Anybody else?
I was thinking I can't exist in eternity. I can't picture myself.
Good. We were designed that way. And that's why when people, when I've had the first experience, or when I got in my mouth, and I mean, you can't describe it. Oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. No, there's no light. There's light everywhere. I mean, it's not some place you're going to. It's what you are. All these near-death experiences, I just laugh because they're not anything that I experienced. And I was certainly right at the death's door many times.
What about work? Having jobs, positions, things like that?
You see, whoever your boss is Jesus Christ. And you're there for a time. That's your schoolmaster to bring you to the fullness of God. But if you bounce from pillar to post, every place, you know, you've got to see that person, whoever I don't care who it is, you've got to see that person and what you do is unto the Lord. And that means you must satisfy him at the expense of yourself. The son never quits. He gets fired a lot. Everything is exactly as it should be. You are where you are supposed to be at this point. But you must see that every rule of man, every situation, every law, even the speed limit, you're seeing it as in the holy place. You're doing it as unto Him, and it's this fullness to get, and its only function is for you to get rid of all the idols in your mind. I promise you, I don't care who you work for, how good a boss he is, if you do this, you'll find 10 million idols in your mind that you haven't repented of, and what you'll do is you'll plot against your boss, because, or you'll act differently if he's around.
And your point?
you will say no, you're in the office and your boss calls you and you'll say, that goddamn phone, that son of a bitch. And then you'll say, yes, Mr. Anthony, what can I do for you? don't let me start on you.
Who?
You.
I'm really nice to you.
That's what I know. I want you to be the same to everybody. I want you to see that going to Bible study for a Levite isn't an option, because you're there as a servant. Let's have a chat after.
This is the most dread words in Bible study. Let's have a chat. Just so you'll know.
All right, take a big guy.